This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The person at the top of the most prominent of artificial intelligence companies gets the boot, fights back, and lands very much on his feet, all in the space of a long weekend. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The pioneer at the top of the ChatGPT company, OpenAI, got fired by his board on Friday, reportedly almost got his job back at the company by Saturday, and by last night landed a sweet position at OpenAI's biggest business partner, Microsoft. The man who you don't just fire is Sam Altman. Marketplace's Nova Safa has been tracking developments.
Yeah, David, and what we don't know this morning is exactly what precipitated all of this chain of events. OpenAI says its board fired Sam Altman because, in their words, he was not consistently candid. They haven't elaborated on what that means. OpenAI has an unusual structure. It's a nonprofit with a for-profit arm, which is where the partnership with Microsoft is. So the sudden announcement of Altman's firing came on Friday from the nonprofit board. Then yesterday, Altman was back at OpenAI's headquarters in San Francisco, apparently negotiating his potential return. And then late last night, the final word from Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella announcing that he'd hired Altman to lead a new AI research team at Microsoft.
Fortune magazine is reporting that Altman was doing a lot of travel to fundraise for an AI microchip venture, suggesting that might have placed him crosswise with the OpenAI board, but Altman's not confirming this.
No, and we don't really know a lot right now. What we know for certain is that this is really still playing out. We're seeing a number of OpenAI employees posting in protest on X, formerly Twitter. There are reports that some staff members have already quit. We know Altman will be joined at Microsoft by his OpenAI co-founder, Greg Brockman. And Brockman put out a list of several others who are apparently leaving OpenAI and heading to Microsoft. So keep in mind, Microsoft is also OpenAI's biggest partner. Right now, Nadella says that partnership will continue, but it's clear that this is still a developing story, David.
Nova Safa, thank you. Many will spend another day Friday in front of a screen manipulating pixels into virtual shopping carts, or they'll go into windowless stores and do the same IRL. There is another way to use this Friday, the great outdoors. And according to new data from the Bureau of Economic Analysis, outdoor recreation still means consumer spending. It contributed $1 trillion to economic output last year. Wyoming, Montana, Alaska, Florida, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine see a lot of this in their GDPs. Pandemic recovery has given that sector a boost. Here's Marketplace's Savannah Marr.
Early in 2020, when people were feeling restless at home, but also didn't want to risk getting sick, the city of Lander, Wyoming, saw an opportunity.
If you want to come to where there's nobody, come here. And a lot of people came.
Owen Sweeney with Lander's Chamber of Commerce says the Wind River Mountains have always been a big economic driver. But COVID brought new hikers, bikers, and climbers who've kept coming back. Jessica Turner with the Outdoor Recreation Roundtable has seen that trend around the country. The BEA found that the sector now makes up 2.2% of the national GDP.
Well, and you can see we're bigger than agriculture and utilities and, you know, mining and extractive industries. You realize this is a real force for the economy.
But these economies rely on public lands maintained by federal workers. So with Congress struggling to pass a budget,
it's a yo-yo roller coaster kind of existence.
Owen Sweeney says the possibility of a shutdown after the holidays has mountain towns like his on edge. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
An update now on child care centers. Now that COVID-era federal subsidies came to an end this fall, a consumer products company facing less revenue can just raise prices so the consumer pays. But since many struggling parents simply can't afford to pay more for child care, this leads to what economists call a failed market. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes has been tracking this.
To send your preschooler to downtown Baltimore child care, it'll cost you just over $1,700 a month. It's nearly $2,300 for infants. Executive Director Hillary Roberts King understands that's a lot.
This amount is astronomical. I know that.
Roberts King says about 80% of that goes towards wages for staff. And with federal pandemic relief funds gone, the center is considering raising its rates next year by between 2 and 5%.
And part of that is looking at our competitors and then talking about what the market will bear.
One person who's part of that market is Jacqueline Lazzola. She has two daughters here and has come to the center for a parent-teacher conference. She's keeping her voice down because it's nap time.
I try to avoid when my daughters are awake because if they're awake, it's like, mommy, mommy, mommy. And so,
Lazzola is an MD-PhD student and her husband's a medical resident. And even with a discount, close to half of their income goes to child care.
So if tuition does increase with the next academic year, we absolutely cannot afford it anymore. Unfortunately, as it stands, we are kind of teetering on being unable to pay regularly.
After Lazzola graduates next month, she'd love to pick up shifts at the hospital and do some research before she starts her obstetrics residency. But to save money on childcare, she might end up staying at home with her kids.
It'll be great to spend time with the girls. I think what's frustrating about it is that it's not as if it was fully by choice. Nothing about the way the system works is made to support a two-parent household that's working.
Single parents are frustrated, too. Yusra Scott lives alone with her two-year-old daughter, who also goes to downtown Baltimore Child Care. She recently started working 4 days a week as a hairstylist.
I unfortunately can't work Saturday because I don't have anybody to watch her.
Scott gets an income-related discount on her child care bill, which brings it to $500 a month. She says that's all she can manage. And if child care were to get more expensive, she'd have to ask her family for help.
I wouldn't like that. You know, it may be something that they would be like, well, we can't.
But not having child care would mean not working. And Scott says that's a non-starter.
Oh, no. Mm-mm. I mean, what would I do? Like, I would be evicted. You know, no, that would not be enough.
Scott hopes she's making more money by next fall so she can cover any price increase. Otherwise, she says, she'll just have to figure something out. In Baltimore, I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. We're from APM, American Public Media.